Morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you in the name of the Lord. couple of announcements. Thanks to Bob for the colorful flowers this morning. And also, keep Dan in prayer for tomorrow. He has been asked to participate in the funeral service of Betty, the 101-year-old lady who always came faithfully and regularly to the Bible study at Elmcroft, Celebration Villa. So the family has approached him and asked him to participate in the funeral service tomorrow morning in the Torresville. Saturday is Buddy Kastner's birthday, as well as Tom and Judy's daughter, Teresa Karachner. So remember them on Saturday. We will be on Zoom tonight, the first six verses of chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. This morning we're in Joshua chapter 3. Our title is Go After It. The instruction to follow after the Ark of the Covenant as the priest bore it across the River Jordan. And this is a symbolic representation of the fact that God dwells among his people. The Ark of the Covenant didn't have any magical powers. It was merely a symbol or a representation of God's abiding presence with Joshua and with the people as they obeyed his commandment, as they followed his lead. And we too are to follow the lead of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who has gone before us. He's the one who is our chief example. And thus, lead on, O King Eternal. The hymn is 488. It wasn't the ark that led them, it was God. And he leads us. He leadeth me. The hymn is 500.
Thank you.
And this journey through the Jordan River is often viewed as a picture of the journey through life. For even the point of our physical death is sometimes referred to metaphorically as crossing the Jordan. And as the children of Israel were commanded to sanctify themselves so that they might see the glory of the Lord, such is the abiding command of God for His people, that we surrender to His will, that we submit to His instruction through His Word and through the indwelling of His Spirit, that we sanctify ourselves. He has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. But we have a responsibility to obedience and to faithful service. The hymn is 706, "Take Time to Be Holy." Thank you, Bob. Please stand. We're going to ask Dan to read this passage this morning. It's Joshua chapter 3, all 17 verses.
"And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the people, saying, Take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the people that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan.
Amen. Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for this account of your power, your presence among your people. We pray that you would guide and direct us as we consider this passage this morning, that we might apply the lessons that Joshua and the ancient Israelites saw in their experience. And we pray that you would be with us, that you would guide us, O thou great Jehovah. For you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you that we can depend upon your guidance and your will as you've revealed it to us in your word. We pray that you would help us to be faithful and obedient, that we, like the Israelites, would sanctify ourselves, turning away from the thoughts and the ways of this world, that we might honor you, that we might serve you, that we might please you in all things. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Before we turn to Joshua 3 this morning, we commemorate a date in history. It was March the 20th, the year 1757. An evangelist by the name of William Romaine was asked to preach at Oxford University in England. He preached on Christ, our righteousness. And his exhortation, his lesson drawn from the Word of God, was so convicting and so offensive to the self-righteous scholars who heard him, that they banished William Romaine from ever speaking again at Oxford University. This was a pattern that has crept into many of our institutions of higher learning, an effort to remove the Word of God that which was the founding principle of many of the early universities and colleges. And yet, they came to the point where they became wise in their own intellectualism, and they've abandoned the Word of God. This is a lesson for us today as well. For sadly, there are so many churches that have departed, or so-called churches, that have departed from the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. They interject their own best-selling books or their philosophies rather than the historical foundational truths of Christianity and a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We must hold fast to those things that remain. And thus we need to be ever dependent, even as the ancient Israelites were, upon the guidance and the direction of God for our path. This passage this morning in Joshua chapter 3, we've entitled it, "Go After It." For this is a commandment to the Israelites, and yet it is in the backdrop of a commitment to follow and to serve the Lord, who is the God of all the earth, the creator and the sustainer of all things. We read here in verse 1 that early in the morning, Joshua rose up. This is the point in time after Moses has died. He had gone up to the top of Mount Nebo and was given a view of the entire panorama of the promised land that the Israelites were about to occupy. But he was not permitted to enter in. Joshua was chosen by God as his successor. He had been by Moses' side for those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. He had proved his faithfulness over and over again in the military battles, in the spy excursions that scouted out the promised land. Though the other spies were fearful and reported the great dangers of the giants and the heavily fortified cities, it was Joshua and Caleb who came back trusting in the promise of the Lord that he would give them the promised land. And God showed his pleasure upon the faithfulness of Joshua and Caleb by allowing them, and only them, from that generation to enter in among the children of the Hebrews, the children of the Israelites, into the promised land. Joshua rose up early in the morning. He no doubt was concerned about seeking the Lord's guidance. He no doubt saw the overwhelming obstacles that lay in their path. And as we shall see, this was in the springtime of the year, the time of the barley harvest. And at that time, the River Jordan, that which passed by the city of Jericho that they were approaching, that it overflowed its banks. The melting snows from the mountains as they descended into the valleys and into this region around Jericho, it flooded every spring. It made passage of the river nearly impossible. They didn't have the great bridges that we have today, the technological advances that have made travel easier and made communication easier. They were facing a serious obstacle in their path. Joshua rose up early in the morning. There's some wisdom. You'll recall that Benjamin Franklin used to say, "Early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise." But though there is worldly wisdom in that practice, we see here that nearly 3,000 years before Benjamin Franklin, Joshua practiced that same principle. He rose up early in the morning, He sought the Lord's guidance. He desired to be in the presence of the Lord, to receive His direction, to receive His encouragement. And that's a lesson for us as well, that there's great value, great benefit in seeking the Lord early in the day, that we might have His guidance throughout. Joshua rose up early in the morning. And as he looked over the situation before them, they camped by the River Jordan. No doubt they recognized the difficulty. They were wondering how they were ever going to cross into that promised land. And many times we have serious questions about how we're going to do what God has called us to do. Sometimes it takes some prayer and meditation, seeking the Lord's wisdom and guidance as to which direction we should go. Crossroads that determine a choice, either one way or another. And thus, Joshua and the camp of the Israelites, more than 2 million people, camped for 3 days by the River Jordan, wondering what to do, considering what God would have for His will for them, wondering perhaps how God was going to pull this off, as He had miraculously intervened throughout the previous 40 years of their exodus from Egypt, from their victory over overwhelming odds from enemies, as they were sustained by the manna on a daily basis, as they received water from the rock at times where they did not have anything to drink. God had marvelously provided for them throughout that 40 years, even to the extent that the scripture records that their sandals did not wear out, their clothing did not fray. God sustained them. He provided for their every need. And He promises for us today that He is able to provide far more abundantly than we could ever ask or think. He says, you have not because you ask not. And thus, the will of the Lord is that we go to Him, expressing our needs, depending upon Him for guidance, for direction, for the intervention of His marvelous power, that we might see the wonders that God has for His people. They camped there 3 days. Scripture records numerous references to waiting periods of 3 days. Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale as he fled from the Lord's command to go to Nineveh. And when he was cast overboard by the ship which carried him in the opposite direction from that which God had called him to go, he was swallowed up. And yet he was marvelously preserved by the power of God. He was spewed out on dry land after 3 days. And scripture records also that experience was a prophetic foreshadowing of the 3 days and the three nights that the Lord Himself would spend in the tomb without the normal decay of physical death. He would not be corrupted by that normal process. And yet He was physically dead, but He arose from the dead. He ascended to heaven, and He is seated at the right hand of God the Father, where He ever makes intercession for His people. This 3 days that are referenced here was a waiting period. It was a time of testing their faith, in which they wondered how God would manifest His presence Joshua never lost his faith. He sought the Lord's instruction. He prayed. Thus, we too need to recognize the pattern of the saints of God that is recorded in His Word is an abiding example for us to follow. Joshua communicated with God. He was told by the Lord to call the priests, to have them bear the Ark of the Covenant to the edge of the river, and that all the people, when they see it move, they should go after it. Again, the Ark of the Covenant was not some magical construction. It was merely the symbolic representation of God in their midst. It contained the pot of manna as a remembrance of how God had provided for them. It contained the tablets of the law of God. And it contained Aaron's rod. That rod of Aaron that had marvelously budded and shown its power by consuming the rods of the Egyptian magicians. But this ark was a representation of God's presence and God's blessing. And the instruction that when the priests and the Levites carried it, that they were to watch it. When it moved, they were to move. Very much like the leadership of the cloud and the pillar of fire, the people were instructed to follow after, to go after the Ark of the Covenant. Wherever it was carried, they were to follow. And as the Ark of the Covenant represents God's presence among His people, so too, He is present in His living Word, in the revealed, written, complete, inerrant Word of God that He has left for us. And thus we too are instructed to go after it. Paul commended the Bereans for daily searching the Scripture, finding out that what they heard preached unto them was true or not. And we need to recognize the urgency of following the Word of God and the will of God for our lives. They were told to observe it, to follow behind it by 2,000 cubits, roughly 1,000 yards. Remember that this was nearly 2 million people. And if they were all in very close proximity to it, only a few of them would recognize at any turn or any movement what was happening. But if they observed the movement of the ark carried by the priests from a distance, then they would have instruction, they would have knowledge and wisdom of the direction in which they were going. And thus, time to respond or to move with various obstacles that might have been in the way. We too, by following the instruction, the revelation of the Word of God, can avoid pitfalls in the way. We can receive instruction and guidance and wisdom for the way in which we are to walk, the way in which we are to live. God communicated to Joshua. It was an encouraging word. He said that I'm going to show my presence and my blessing upon you so that everyone will recognize and everyone will understand that you have the divine endorsement, that you have the divine power that was given unto Moses during that 40 years of leadership throughout the wilderness. Now Moses is passed from the scene. There were many who perhaps wondered whether they would have any future at all. And yet God, in His purpose, had chosen Joshua to be the successor, to be the leader. And yet, At the same time, Joshua proves himself to be a faithful leader. He communicates with God. He seeks divine wisdom and divine guidance. He rose up early in the morning to pray, to seek the Lord's will for how they might overcome this serious obstacle. And thus, God communicates an encouraging word to him that just as he had been with Moses, so too the people will see that God is with Joshua. Joshua then faithfully communicates the instruction of the Lord unto the priests. Ordinarily, it was the Levites from the various families that carried various aspects of the tabernacle and the ark. But here, he calls upon the priests to carry it. And this is a reminder to us that those who are called to leadership in the local assembly of God's people cannot just sit back and observe, cannot just watch what the people are doing. They were required to directly participate. And such is the case with God's people today. Whether leaders of a local assembly or whether part of the congregation, part of the flock, we all have a part in what Paul represents as the spiritual body. There are some eyes, there are some ears, there are some hands, there are some feet. All of us have a role to play in the accomplishment of God's purpose for our lives. We are to follow His leadership, His guidance that He's given us in His Word, so that we might safely travel through the wilderness of this life, so that we might reach the River Jordan, and that we might safely cross over into that eternal promised land. This Ark of the Covenant, as I said, was not a magical power in and of itself. It represented the power of the God who is the Lord of all the earth. Not just one of the pagan deities of these Canaanites of which they were going to conquer, but the Creator God, the true God, the one and only God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Bible. And thus, he was purposing to work out his plan, to deliver his people, to give them guidance through his presence, to give them safety in their travels, to lead them. The priests were instructed to go before the people, to go to the edge of the River Jordan, and to stand there so that the people might see where they went, that they might see what was about to happen, that they might see the wonders that God had intended to reveal through Joshua's leadership, through the faithful obedience of the priests to carry the ark to the edge of the river and to await the glory of the Lord. We've seen waters parted before. The Red Sea was miraculously parted, and the millions of the Israelites, that mixed multitude, passed through on dry land. And after they had safely crossed over, the Egyptian army sought to pursue after them and to kill them. But as they got into the middle of the river, the waters fell, and the chariots and the horses and all the soldiers were drowned. God had preserved them. He had protected them. And here, they came to another massive obstacle. A flooding river in the springtime, one which is impossible to pass. But Joshua didn't call the Army Corps of Engineers like would normally happen in our day to figure out a way across. He went to the Lord, and he received guidance and direction. God had showed Joshua that this was the way in which he would deliver his people once again. His miracles are not always the same. And yet, sometimes he does things similar to ways in which he has operated in the past. And just as he had given them safe passage on dry land over the Red Sea, so too now it is his purpose that they will walk across the Jordan River on dry land. But again, he didn't just tell the priests to go to the river, wait for the waters to part, and then to go across and let the people lead, or let the people follow. They were to lead into the middle of the river, and they were to stand there while the rest of the people crossed over. And then after everyone had safely passed, then they were to finish the trek across the river. We read here that the waters parted. They backed up. They were piled up and held back, restrained by the power of God. The ordinary power of the flooding waters was overcome by the power of God. And though just the natural force of the descending waters from the melting snow from the mountains would have been a torrential force, they were restrained. They were held back so that God might show his power. But again, we see that this is a miraculous passage because, like the Red Sea, the people were able to cross on dry land. God provided a way for them to cross over, to arrive on the other side. And thus, Joshua had given the instruction to the priests. He gave his command to the people to observe and to follow. But here in this passage, we see that he tells them, as they witness these things, as they experience the miracles of God, they have a responsibility, as we have a responsibility, to sanctify yourselves. Some people think that's a bit sacrilegious because God saves us. God cleanses us by the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. He convicts us when we go wrong, when we do things that we know we ought not to do, as Paul said, or when we don't do the things that we know that we should do. And yet at the same time, while God is the author and the finisher of our faith, it is the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. It is Christ with us. And yet at the same time, we have that responsibility to submit, to obey, to do his will. And we do so by his grace. We can't pat ourselves on the back and say how good we are, because we know, as we witness those around us who depart from the way of God, that except for the grace of God, there too would go we. But we can surrender and submit to the will of God, recognizing that all things are done by his power, by his grace. And thus, the Israelites passed over. The rest of the book of Joshua gives the account of how they conquered the heavily fortified city of Jericho. And you all know that story. They didn't just launch a military attack. They were told to carry the Ark of the Covenant and to march around the city for 7 consecutive days. The first 6 days they were supposed to march 1 time around the city. And on the 7th day, they were supposed to march 7 times around the city, and they were to blow their horns and shout a great shout of praise to God. And God told them that at that point, those massive walls fortifying the city of Jericho would fall down. And they did. God manifested his power throughout the Israelites' journey through the wilderness as they occupied and conquered the promised land. the wonders which they saw, the miraculous deliverance, the miraculous presence of God in their midst, is that which energized them. It encouraged them. And as we read the accounts of God's presence, God's blessing among His people of the past, we also can recognize His presence in our own lives. Those times when we did not know which way to go. Those times when we were facing overwhelming odds or great dangers or great enemies. God provides for His people. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can rest on that promise that He will ever abide with His people, that He ever lives to make intercession for those who follow after Him. The instruction to the people of Israel was that when they saw the Ark of the Covenant move, they were to go after it. And the abiding word of God for today is that when we hear the instruction, the call of God through His Word and through His Spirit, we too are to go after it. The Jordan River is often pictured as the crossover to life after death. Metaphorically, crossing the Jordan is often used as a description of the time in which our physical lives come to an end and we cross over. The Israelites crossed over safely to the other side. And we have God's promise that His people too shall safely cross to the other side. John Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress pictured this River Jordan as that crossover to the celestial city. Sometimes the waters were high. Sometimes it required direct intervention from the angels to bear the saints across. Other times the waters were shallow and easily crossed. And this is a picture of how some people face very difficult, violent deaths. Others go peacefully. And yet, for the people of God, all safely cross over, regardless of the physical circumstances in which they cross, regardless of their pain or their experience in the process of dying. Those who have been sealed by the Spirit, those who have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, will cross the River Jordan. They will go after the one who has gone before us, the one who said that He has gone to prepare a place for us, that where He is, there we may be also. And thus, we can trust in what He has said. We can follow His instruction. We can obey His command, because His word is as true today as it was nearly or over 3,000 years ago in the time of Joshua and in the time of Moses and in the time of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. God is ever faithful. He's ever the same. And He will deliver His people today. And for as long as the Lord shall tarry, we can trust in His word. Go after it. Our closing hymn is 718. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Joshua and the Israelites relied upon the instruction of God. They relied upon the power of God. And we too can rest and rely upon what Jesus Christ has accomplished. He has cleansed us from our sins. He has paid the price and reconciled us unto eternal life. What a fellowship! What a joy divine! Leaning on the everlasting arms. The hymn is 718. Thank you. you, Bob. May the grace and the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, and now to Him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of His glory. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Do we have any thoughts this morning regarding go after it?
I previously thought that the Red Sea was the only continent around.
No. It happened here again at the Jordan River.